God's good, isn't he? His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. We've been talking about the roadmap to change. Because before this year began, the Lord began to deal with me that this year is a year of change. That he wants us to change. And again, some of this is review, but Janine gave a message not Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before. And was so good, so powerful. She said, why does God want us to change? What's the reason? The reason is real simple. That God wants to put us in a position where people can see Jesus in us. Right? And part of that is we've got to get out of the flesh and get out of ourselves so that we can let him shine through us. Amen? That is so awesome. And you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. But one of the things, before I get into that, I have asked the Lord, specifically this last couple of weeks, Lord, I want to invite people to Easter, to the Easter service. And so, Lord, put those people across my path that you want me to invite. And I'm telling you, I've had, I think, two or three different opportunities with people I wasn't expecting. One was in Costco, of all places. I run into people in Costco. It's really funny. But we were right there, so I was able, actually, I prayed for him, right? He said, it's funny, I was going to call you, and I haven't seen him for two or three years. I was going to call you, and he was having some issues going on, but we right there in the middle of Costco, I prayed for him and invited him to Easter. Don't know if he'll come or not, but that's not the point. The point is not who comes, it's who I invite. And I just encourage you to be bold and listening to the Lord. No pressure, but just do what God puts on your heart to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Roadmap to change. Did everybody get one of these cards when you walked in? If you didn't, I've got some up here, and if you want one, make sure you get one. But basically, it's the outline of the sermons that we've done on the roadmap to change. And the first one was discovery. And again, it's not necessarily, it might be what you want to change, but it's God, what do you want me to change? And Lord, so I'm seeking your face, I'm asking you for that. And then, Lord, give me the plan. That was the second sermon that we did. On the plan, you got to have a plan. But a plan without the third point is just useless. You have to implement the plan, right? And last week, we talked about creating accountability to the change. In other words, we need people around us. Iron sharpens iron. And we need to allow people to speak into us. And sometimes, well, I think most of the time, the best person to do that is one that you're closest to, but our pride won't allow them to speak into us or to hold us accountable. Hello? But we need to do that. Amen. You know, husbands, just because your wife has asked you for 6 months to do something and you haven't done it, it may be God speaking to you that you need to get on the deal and do it, right? So anyway, create accountability. But today I want to talk to you about measuring your progress. In other words, I've got this in my heart, and God's asking me to change. But if you ever notice, like with little kids, if you're around them all the time, I mean, they're at your house or your grandpa, you're always with them, that you don't notice necessarily how big they're getting because it's a day-by-day thing. But if you haven't seen them for 6 months or a year, and all of a sudden they go from this to this, it's like, what happened? Right? But here's the deal. It's like, I believe that God wants us to measure change for several reasons. But let's look at these verses first. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or there is freedom. And I just want to... just say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is change. Let me say that again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's change. Because freedom brings change. Hello? I got saved, and before I got saved, I was, you know, a partier, drinking, smoking dope, and doing all other kinds of stupid stuff, right? But when I got saved, I got saved. I mean, one minute I was doing this, and then the next minute I didn't want to do any of that. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord came to me. There was freedom, but there was change that was associated with the freedom. Well, let's look at the next verse. It says, but we all, everybody say we all. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, every one of us, every one of us, God wants to show us Him in us. Right? He wants to show Him in us. But watch it. We're changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And what does that mean? That means that He wants to create in us a representative of what He can do to a man or a woman who surrendered to Him. And I like it because it's never finished. We never arrive. But there's destinations along the way that we should be celebrating. That we should be celebrating. And so part of the reason for measuring your success or your change is, first of all, that you can give glory to God for it. Right? He's the one that's done it. I mean, He gave me the idea, and then He gave me the plan, and then I implemented the plan, and He's done it in me, and I just want to measure that so I can shout it out that this is what God has done for me. And others might say, well, you know, what did God have? It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what you know. Right? This is what God has done in me, and I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to shout it out, and it's not just, right? It's not just so that you can be happy about it. It's so that can God use your change to give somebody else hope that there is change. Right? So measuring and say, well, look at this is where I was, but here's where I am, can bring glory to God. Right? I was bound with that same thing. You know, I had trouble with that same issue. I was angry all the time, but this is what the Lord did in me. And it's taken a little while. It didn't happen overnight. I didn't get prayer one night and was delivered from this. It took me time to renew my mind to what the Word said. But as I got into the Word, I began to see something different. I began to act on something different. I can tell you today that I'm different than I was then, because I can measure it. I can see it. Others have told me that I've changed. Others can see a difference, right? So, but we all, with unveiled face, behold, I love that, with unveiled face. What does that mean? You know, in many places, women have to have veils over their face when they're in the presence of men that they don't know, and it's an issue of humility, and you're not quite as good. I mean, that may not be exactly true, but that's kind of the feeling, right? That you're less than. But an unveiled face means in the presence of God, you don't have to come with shame or covered, because He's already accepted you. Right? That's so good. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. In other, this is what God looks like. This is what God looks like when He shows up. Are transformed into what? The same image. More like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. And that can be measured just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. this, and again, everything that we do, every gift that God gives us, he gets the glory and the credit for. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 23 it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word." So in other words, when we see something in the word that God is dealing with us about changing, and we say, "Okay, Lord, that's what I want to do," there should be a measurable difference in you as God works through you. Right? Well, let me just give you an example. Maybe you're a place where bitterness or worry is something that you just grew up with, and it's just something you know. I come from a long line of worriers. My mother worried, my grandmother worried, my grandpa worried. We're just worriers. And you come to the realization that Paul said by the Holy Spirit, "Fret not." That's not a suggestion. "Fret not," or "do not worry or have any anxiety over anything." And you go, "Okay, Lord, we got to deal with this. Because I'm not reflecting who you are right now. So we're going to deal with this by me getting into the Word, but I should be able to see a difference when I go through the process that I don't worry about that anymore." Do you see what I'm saying? So there should be a measurable difference. But why would we measure change? Again, part of it's to encourage and to celebrate, to give glory to God. We used to sing a song, we haven't sung it for a long time. "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He changed my mind. He did it just in time." You know, but I'm going to, what's the point of that? The point is God's done something in me and I want to shout praises to the rooftop. So part of the reason to measure is so that you can give glory to God and praise to God when something happens. And when somebody comes up to you, "What happened to you?" Jesus. There's something that he did different in me. I've told you this story again, but it fits here, so I'm going to say it again. There was a time we're working in the shipyard. We've been working 12-hour days for many, many months, like 3 months. Everybody was cranky and tired. And we had safety meetings once a week. But they weren't really safety meetings. They were more like, well, let's just say, encouragement's not the right word. But they came and it came down from, "This is what you're doing wrong. This is what you're doing wrong." And just kind of getting bawled out because we weren't meeting some goals or whatever. And so we went back down to the floor and we're working. And Tom, who worked with me, he came up to me and he said, "You've been working as many hours as I have." And he said, "You just were in the same meeting that I was. How come you're smiling?" You know what I said? Jesus. It's Jesus. I work at the shipyard, but I don't work for the shipyard. I work for Jesus. Right? I work for Jesus. He could see that wouldn't have been me before Christ, and that wouldn't have been me before God had done a work inside of me. I would have been the same one complaining and, you know, using words I shouldn't use before. But there was a change in me. It was measurable, and it's Jesus. So again, that testimony, watch, that testimony gives glory to his name. So don't ever miss an opportunity to give God the credit for what he's doing in you. Don't be embarrassed like, "Well, you know, they're of the world and they're not really religious." Forget all of that. Stop that. and start to give Him glory for what God's done in you. How did you get through that crisis? How did you go through that? Well, it was Him. He gave me the courage. He gave me the faith. He got me through, which was an impossible situation. And again, that's going to lead people who don't know Jesus to Jesus, but it's also going to help those that might be going through the same thing to know that there's hope so they can get to their destination. So why measure? It's to encourage, but it's also to give glory to God. And the next thing that I think is really important, it's to remind others of God's faithfulness. It's to remind others of God's faithfulness. And especially, watch this, especially with those that are closest to you. Especially your children or your grandchildren. It's like, listen, yes, God has given us, you know, this new thing. And I'll just use an example. You know, we were believing God for a car, and the one that we had was, you know, a wish for, had Maypop tires on it, all that. But we were believing God for a new car, and God brought us the means to get it. But I want you to know, kids, this is a Jesus mobile because He's provided it for us, right? Why? Because you're measuring God's faithfulness to provide for you. Why do you pray over the meal? And why do you do it in front of your kids or encourage them to do them? To remember that it's God is our provider. Whether it's beans or steak, it doesn't matter. God's the provider. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Over and over in the Old Testament, God was saying, teach your children, tell them the stories, go over and over again what I've done for them, because when they hear what I've done for the parents, the grandparents, the great-great-grandparents, the ancestors going way back, there's hope that will come to them that the same God who did it for somebody else will do it for me. Right? And so when you begin to measure what God is doing in your life and you begin to give Him the glory, not only internally, but effectually everywhere else, then all of a sudden they go, wait, man, if God really did that for him, He can do it for me. I've told you, again, this story about me getting saved and how I got saved. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I'm really thankful, actually, for the education I got. There were some things put into me that were really good. But I'd walked away from the Lord. Well, I'll just fill in the blank here. I've got time, right? So at fifth grade, I had a good friend of mine who was in trouble. His name was Mike. He was a good friend of mine. He was in trouble, juvenile detention, all of that stuff. So as I'm telling you this, I'm reliving this because I see it in my heart, right where I was in the church. I was kneeling. There was nobody else around me. And I said, Lord, if you'll get Mike out of this trouble, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And so He got him out of the trouble, turned around. It was awesome. So in eighth grade, I was going to a parochial school up to eighth grade. I was getting ready, and I decided, well, a promise is a promise. And I had the opportunity to apply to become a priest. You know, you go into a kind of a prep high school, and so I did. But I got rejected. Ushers, would you get that lady in the back? Listen. Listen, so I was rejected. And so I thought, well, God doesn't want me. I don't want Him. And I got to the point in my life where it was like, God, if there is a God. But then one fella started coming and witnessing to me. In fact, several times I'd see him coming down the street in his car. I'd go down the stairs in the back and get up and go up to the tavern or something. I don't want anything to do with that. But he pinned me one day. And he was on the couch. I was sitting on the hearth. And he started to say things like this, ridiculous things. well, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told, and I went, what, God speaks to you? This guy is high or something. I don't know. You know, because again, in my background, it was like God speaks to the Pope, and then it's feathered down to the priest, and then you hear what they say, and that's what God said. God talked to you? And I was going, God, if there is a God, in my mind, God, if there is a God, and you speak to him, have him start talking about this thing that's on my mind. And this was just, you know, my mind to God's heart. And the next thing out of his mouth was exactly what, you know, I was thinking. And so I said, that's quite a coincidence. Right? So the whole thing, we repeated the process, and I got saved. I didn't actually get saved that day, but it drew me back to him, to knowing that it was him. So what am I saying? Let's stop being embarrassed about what God is saying to us or doing in us, because the world needs to hear that God still speaks, that God still does. And we can measure that stuff. Anyway, God started speaking to me then. He hasn't stopped. And I'm not talking about that I hear voices or anything like that. Sometimes that gets all twisted up. Really what it is that he puts something in my heart and it comes up and I process it through my mind. But I could go into a lot of stories over that. But let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And listen to this. This is Paul talking to his son in the faith, he called Timothy. So get that correlation. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he has counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Watch that. What's he saying? I want you to know who I was, but now I want you to know who I am. And I am who I am because of the grace of God that was upon me. Verse 15, it says, faithful, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We could all say that, right? And we could all go, yeah, it's not about me. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me, first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. This charge I commit to you, my son, according to all prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Here's the point. He said, First Timothy, I want you to know this is what God's done in me. And secondly, Timothy, this is what I've seen in you. But I want to point that out to you so that you can see it concretely, so that you can testify of it. So why do we measure our change? So that we can see it concretely, so that we can declare it to the world. Does that make sense? So why do we measure? So that, again, that God gets the glory. I'm not sure I'm going to get through all these, but we'll keep going. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. I just have to testify that God's been good to me. Now, I'm not telling you that my life has always been easy. There's never been any roadblocks or storms or anything. Because, I mean, we've all been through it, right? But what I can tell you is that God was with me before, he was with me during, and he's been with me after. Glory to God. And because I'm with him, I'm better off. Philippians chapter 3, and again, verse 12. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, look, I haven't arrived, but I'm pressing on. But when I press on, you're going to see a difference. You're going to be able to see something different in me next year than you did this year because God's doing a work in me and I can point it out because I paid attention and measured it. So change, and again, change isn't change until there's change, but when there is change, we ought to be able to say, look, this is the way I was, this is the way I am. Right? It's so good. I'm going to skip 2 Peter. Go to Galatians chapter 5, 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Here is the list that the Spirit of God will always be directing you toward. Here is the list that you should be able to say, you know, I wasn't so good at this point last year, but God brought the change to me because the fruit... Right? The fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? The thing that's produced because you've been planted in the vine, watered by the Word, right? And the branches have gone out and there's something dangling, right? But watch this. It's not that you see the apple tree that's just it's just beautiful with red apples. They're green and then they're red. And you go, boy, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. That's good, but the purpose of that fruit hasn't reached its destination until it reproduces. Right? So in other words, it's like this. Every bit of fruit that we're going to list here that God wants to put inside of us, right? It should be measurable by how it affects others. Are you ready for this? You know this. Many of you know these verses, but listen to them because this is supposed to be what the result is of your relationship with God. Right? His fruit in us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is change, and that change is we're being changed from glory to glory so that our fruit is being produced. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this isn't talking about your and my kind of love, where I'll love you if you love me, but if you mess me over. One particular man that I know, he was always of opinion, I'm going to get you before you get me. Right? If I even think you're going to swing at me, I'm going to get the five iron out. And right? But this kind of love is the God kind of love, which says, I love you because that's what's in me. I love you because that's who I am. I love you, right? And some people have said that, you know, the punctuation is a little different in this verse, but it's the fruit of the Spirit is love, but love produces all the rest of this. Right? It's the love of God inside of us that is being displayed more and more and more that brings joy, brings peace, brings long-suffering, brings kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. So what I'm saying is that as God is calling us to be changed, there should be a measurable difference in this list in our lives. Are you with me? Lord, I thank you for change. I thank you for the fruit of the Spirit being love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and self-control. Against such there's no law. So I just thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord. I honor you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Brianna, you have a word? Do you still have your mic there?
Speaking thing. Oh, thank you. So this is really hard for me to do. Excuse the nerves. I don't get up and sing in front of people, but I fight that too because God said that wasn't my will for you. My will for you is to project my message into the world, and so I keep fighting the nerves. Doing the roadmap to change. I thought of a million things. I was like, there's a lot to work on here. So we need to get a little bit more specific. What do I need to change? And I prayed on it. And growing up, my life, I lived by this motto, you hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. And I thought that that was making me stronger. In all reality, it was making me weaker. And I prepared myself for failure, and it gave me fear of things not working out. I had no hope. I had no faith. So what God told me when we started Roadmap to Change was, what you need to change is your mindset.
Come on.
And you need to change it from hope from the best, prepare for the worst, to believe in the best and praise every little blessing along the way. So along with my change, I started seeing how it affected other people around me. And I work with a gentleman that has made his whole adult life about finding facts about why God is not real and why religion is a sham. A very cold man, you know. He's a good man, but he just had a lot of misleadings in his life. And I continue to preach, because God told me, preach in those uncomfortable places, because that's where they need it most. So I preach and I sing my worship, and even when I stumble and I mess up and I sound because of my nerves, and I don't necessarily have all of the scripture memorized and feel like I have no business doing it, I do it anyway. So he comes to work last week, and he seems to be having a really good day, and we were having a good time, laughing, talking. And he goes, I went on YouTube and I watched one of your church's services from a while ago. He says, I don't remember which one. I was like, oh, really? I said, that's exciting. He's like, yeah. He said, it looks like you guys were in a gym somewhere. I said, because we were. That's how we did it when I first started going to church. And he said, well, it was good. He goes, I really liked it and had a lot of insight. And I was like, wow. I said, well, I'm glad. I'm really glad for you. And he said, I haven't had a drink in almost 7 days. That's the longest he had been in 15 years. And he said, I know that I poke fun at you, and I know that I don't necessarily respect you. He goes, but because you continue to push me, I'm seeing something more in myself than I've ever seen. And that's the importance of the change. It's not just for you.
Amen.
But it's for the people around you. You project God's word into the deep, dark places of the world, because that's going to overpower anything else that's lurking there. So continue to push for that change. Continue, even when you're nervous, even when you think it's not your place or you have no business, when you're scared, when you feel alone, continue to do it, because it's going to be worth it.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come up, let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you are always dealing with us in a way that you want us to be more at peace with you than we've ever been. And we thank you for that change. And all those that are watching online, just like that gentleman that watched the service online, that's so awesome. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to touch people that we may not even see. But if you're watching online, just let God touch you Let him speak to you like he did me. He'll put things in your heart. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just open up your heart to him and say, Lord, I need you. I need God. And the way to God is Jesus. And so I just receive Jesus into my heart right now. Lord, come and take over my life. If you pray that, he will. Amen. And if you have a need, any need at all, right now I'm just praying over you that God would touch you physically, financially, emotionally, in Jesus' name, that he'd just do a work in you. And I thank you for joining us. God bless you. While the worship team is up.